Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19. The Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. Text number, well, we're beginning with 3. There's no purport, so we'll just read the translation. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmins, or after promising to give charity, has anyone failed to fulfill his promise? So who's talking here? Who's, yes. And who is he talking to? To who? Yes, that's right. They're not just voices out of the sky. I have some idea who's talking. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who upon being requested has refused charity to brahmanas in a holy places, or a fight to kshatriyas on a battlefield. In your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. Purport. The symptoms of kshatriya are given in Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dana. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. King who does refuse is called low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there are no such low-minded kings. So we can note here that if you want to ask for charity, first flatter the person a lot. Tell them how great they are and how great their family was. No one in your family has ever refused to give charity, and you're a great personality, and you always follow the principles. And by the way, can you give a donation? It's an excellent lead-up. Just like before Krishna went with Bhima, and he went with Arjuna to fight against Jarasandha in the disguise of as brahmanas, when Jarasandha was giving charity. And when Krishna met Jarasandha, he spent a while praising him about and telling him how great the people were in the past. Maharaj Shibi, Maharaj Ranti Dev, Mugad, others, Magda, and others who had given charity to Brahmins and, well, not even Brahmins, to others, who just had given charity. And because of their giving charity, they're glorified throughout the whole ages. So Jarasandha, after hearing the glories of giving charity, although he realized that these were not ordinary Brahmins, they appeared to be Kshatriyas, because they had, Brahmins at that time were small, only around 2 meters high, which is small for a person back then. Kshatriyas were at least 3 meters high. Although Krishna was a little small for a kshatriya, it said. He was only around, he was a little less than 3 meters. So they were obviously too big to be Brahmins, unless they were big Brahmins. They had bow marks on their shoulders, which generally Brahmins didn't have. And they had deep commanding voices, so Jarasandha figured these must be kshatriyas in the guise of Brahmins asking me for charity. And that black one, I seem to recognize him from somewhere. I think I met him somewhere. Can't recall. I'm good at names, but faces, it's a little difficult. So he said, now I'm prepared to even offer my head in charity, if it's going to give me immortal fame. So what people won't do for their false prestige. This idea that I'm going to live in my fame. I mean, even the most foolish devotee could see through that. What a waste of time. In any case, that's what happens when you become a demon. You lose all your intelligence. So, Bali Maharaj, Vamana Deva is flattering Bali Maharaj. He He wants to make sure he's going to offer him the charity, otherwise the whole incarnation would be a failure. And then it wouldn't get made into Srimad Bhagavatam. So then we would have had to revise the Bhagavatam, find a different story. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyakashipu was born. So here's Ramanadeva praising Hiranyakashipu. What someone won't do to get a little charity. I mean, this is really extreme. Could you imagine a devotee giving a class, telling about the glories of Hiranyakashipu? Probably be his last class. But here's Ramanadeva telling Pali Maharaj about the glories of Hiranyakashipu. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone, without assistance, to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from Garbhodaka Sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt within himself victorious indeed. Now he's even minimizing himself. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu knew the address of Vishnu. Somehow or another he could find it. And he went there. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics, the knower of progress of time, thought as follows. Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me as death follows all living entities. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart. For them, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. Lord Vamadeva continued, O king of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of the enemy Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body, inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already in the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarabhutanam Rideshi Arjuna Tishtati. Logically, therefore, it is not at all difficult for Lord Vishnu to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. The word Vivigna Cheta, very anxious, is significant. It is not that Lord Vishnu is afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Rather, because of compassion, Lord Vishnu has anxiety about how to act for his welfare. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began to searching for Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe. I mean, that's quite a search. Even if you lost a pen in this building, it would take a long time to find it, especially if it was in the attic. Including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions, and all the caves and oceans. I mean, that was quite an intensive search. But Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, could not see Vishnu anywhere. Text 12. Pashaniti hovacha mayan vishtam idam jagat pratriha megato nunam yato navartate puman. Apashan, not seeing him. Iti, in this way. Na uvacha uttered maya by me, anvishtam has been sought, idam the whole jagat universe, pratriha Lord Vishnu, who killed the brother. May my gataha must have gone. Nunam indeed yataha from where? Na not. Avartite comes back. Puman a person. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Purport. Atheists generally follow the Bodha philosophical conclusion that at death, everything is finished. Hiranyakashipu, being an atheist, thought this way. Because Lord Vishnu was not visible to him, he thought that the Lord was dead. Even today, many people follow the philosophy that God is dead. But God is never dead. Even the living entity who is part and parcel of God never dies. Nijayate, mriyate, va, kadachit. For the soul, there is never birth or death. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Even the ordinary living entity never takes birth or dies. Then what is to be said of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the chief of all living entities? He certainly never takes birth or dies. Ajopi san avyatma. Both the Lord and the living entity exist as unborn and inexhaustible personalities. Thus, Hiranyakashipu's conclusion that Vishnu is dead was wrong, as indicated by the words, Yato Navartite Puman. There is certainly a spiritual kingdom, and if the living entity goes there, he never returns to this material world. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Tyaktvadeham Vrinarjanma, Naitimam Eti Sorjana. Materially speaking, every living entity dies. Death is inevitable. But those who are karmis, jnanis, and yogis return to this material world after death, whereas bhaktas do not. Of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in a very exalted position, either in a rich family or a family of the purest brahmanas, suchinam shimatam gehe. Just to finish his development in spiritual consciousness, those who have completed the course of Krishna consciousness and are free from material desire return to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gyatvana nivartante tadama paramamama. Here the same fact is stated. Ito nivartite puman. Any person who goes back home, back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, the emphasis is on two things, the eternality of the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the two. Now, in explaining about the soul, the problem that the soul has in the material world is also explained, both in the Bhagavad Gita and also at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the emphasis on death is there. As a matter of fact, the whole Bhagavatam, the circumstances that the Bhagavatam was spoken, was that Pariksit Maharaj was condemned to die in 7 days. And what did he do about it? He was going to be bitten by a snake bird on the 7th day. Did he go to the nearest clinic to get snake poison venom, antidote to snake poison venom, especially snake bird poison, hard to come by? Did he go to a temple and pray, "O Vishnu, please protect me"? No, he went to find out what is the duty of a person who's about to die. Now, most people don't think like that. As one sannyasi told me when he was young, he asked his mother about what happens when you die. And his mother's response was, "You're not feeling well today?" As they tell children, at least in America, when they ask, "Where did I come from?" they say, "The stalk brought you." Do they say that here also? The stalk. We'd like to see the stalk's father. A rather unusual stalk. Maybe it was an unusual person asking the question. In any case, birth is really unknown in one sense. Exactly how the living entity takes birth and how he leaves his body is not known. Therefore, Krishna says, "Unkramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha." The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So human form of life is meant to have eyes trained with knowledge specifically to understand how the living entity quits his body. What happens after he quits his body? For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Antakale tamameva smaran mukva kalevram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nas yatra samshaya." That anyone who thinks of me, the Supreme Personality of God alone, he'll go back to the spiritual world. That doesn't mean that at the time of death we have a little picture of Krishna and we just happen to remember Krishna at the time of death. It doesn't work like that. It means that anyone who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness at the time of death will not be disturbed by any other thoughts, and therefore one will go back to the spiritual world. Because the basic principle is yam yam vapi smaran bhavan tyajanti antikalevram tam tam evaiti kondiya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. That whatever we think of at the time of death, that's what we're going to attain. The accumulation of our activities and thoughts in this lifetime will influence what we're most attached to, and therefore what we think of the time of death. They have these black boxes, Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. They have these black boxes on airplanes so they could find out when the airplane crashes into the ocean, what is the conversation. And it is found that many pilots, before the plane crash, their final words are, "Mommy." Unfortunately, their mom can't help them very much. But anyhow, that's a natural reaction. Because that's what people are trained up, take shelter of something other than Krishna. Or as one devotee was telling her mother at the time of her leaving the body, "Chant, chant, chant." And her mother was saying, "Can't, can't, can't." Or as one husband was telling his wife, "Chant Hare Krishna." And his final words of his wife were, "I cannot say so many words." And then she left. So one has to be trained That training is Krishna consciousness. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmar yudhija mayarpita manobudhir mame vaishatya samshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should think of me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, follow your prescribed duty and fight. With the mind and intelligence fixed in me and everything engaged in me, you'll attain to me without doubt. So Krishna never told Arjuna just to study. He didn't give Arjuna an extra class before the battle. Now I've spoken Bhagavad Gita, maybe you can wait around, I'll give you nectar devotion. And we have another 15, 20 minutes, we'll have a Srimad Bhagavatam class. No, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna said, well, you just spoke Bhagavad Gita. What about Krishna book? I mean, I think I could think about that's more exciting than this dry philosophy. I mean, how boring before a battlefield, you have to give me this dry philosophy. Practically, I fell asleep when you were talking to me. No, that was sufficient. He spoke Bhagavad Gita, and then Arjuna went and fought. He didn't wait around for another couple of classes. You know, I don't feel like fighting today. Maybe you can give me another couple of classes, you know. Maybe we can start the fight tomorrow, you know. I'm leaving. I'll watch it on television. No, after Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was empowered and enthusiastic to fight. Well, maybe not enthusiastic, but at least he was willing to fight the battlefield Kurukshetra on behalf of Krishna. And at the same time, think about Krishna. He was not only fighting for Krishna, but he was also in Krishna consciousness. At least we can understand he understood things properly. He didn't think, wow, now I got a chance to fight, kill all these rascals, and I can get all, you know, get all their possessions, and I'll be the king. I'll be the king. Yes, let's go and fight. No, he did it as a service to Krishna, to please Krishna, because he knew that was auspicious for everyone. Therefore, you should think of me in the form of Krishna. So that's our first business, so think about Krishna. Now, we may not see Krishna's form everywhere, but at least we should understand that whatever we're doing, well, at least we can understand simply everything belongs to Krishna, so that everything we look at, we don't start thinking about if it was mine. That's the problem in the material world. People look around and think, well, if I had that one, it would be pretty good. What about that? Therefore, everyone's going window shopping, whether they're downtown looking at the stores or they're just looking on the street. It's all one big window shopping. Therefore, everyone's dressing in such a way as to get the object that they're seeking. They have the t-shirt, the hairstyle, the earring through their nose and their ears. Just to get what they're looking for, because they're shopping. Everyone is just shopping all the time, claiming that they have something to pay for what they're going to buy, but actually they can't really afford anything in this material world, because nothing belongs to them. Everything is on credit. And at the end, at the time of death, there's the payback. You get all the credit comes due, you have to pay back in some species of life. Therefore, everyone's looking around, shopping. But if we understand at least that everything belongs to Krishna, then we won't be so much interested in seeing what we're going to get here for cheap. What kind of bargain can I get? How can I give you a 5 euro present and get a 20 euro present from you? What do I have to? How can I flatter you to get something I want at your expense? So that's the material world. But if we think about Krishna, at least that shouldn't be there. Krishna is a proprietor. And even more deep is that I should do something to please Krishna. I should find out what he wants me to do. Just getting aloof is called karma yoga, and to find out what Krishna wants us to do in this world is called jnana yoga. And to do it to please him is called bhakti yoga. But if we can't, we don't have bhakti, we don't even have gyan, we're not, but at least we should not become, try to become the possessor of this material energy, or hanker for it. Therefore nowadays when people have become so weak, they can't enjoy anymore, because they want to be the proprietor and they want to enjoy, they give them some glasses to put on, where they live in another imaginary world, where they can imagine themselves be the enjoyer and the controller. At least there, they can become Peter Pan or Twinkle Bell or something. But it's all imagination. It's not, there's no reality to it. The real reality is that everyone's trying to stop from dying, first of all. And therefore, Pariksit Maharaj asks, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? And the sages, they left it up to Shukadeva Goswami to answer it. And Shukadeva Goswami didn't say, oh my dear Pariksit Maharaj, you're not feeling well. I know a good Ayurvedic doctor. He's cured a lot of people from snake bites. Don't be so morose. It's depressing. All the sages here, they look really depressed. But he has something positive. Be positive, Pariksit Maharaj. Don't think so negatively. No, he said, Varyan Eshate Prashna, Kritan Loki Ta Ripaha, Atmavat Samatam Pum Sam, Shoti Vyadishu Yak Paraha. This question is glorious. And actually, everyone should be asking this question, because the answer to this question is beneficial for everyone. The person who asks the question, the person who gives the answer, and everyone else who hears the answer and the question. Everyone is benefited. And then Pariksit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami said, everyone has hundreds and thousands of questions, and they're getting hundreds and thousands of answers. Nowadays, there's only one question and answer. If you know COVID-19, about COVID-19, then you know everything nowadays. You can probably get a PhD in COVID-19. If only we could spread Krishna consciousness as rapidly as COVID-19 is spreading. So there's hundreds and thousands of questions, hundreds and thousands of answers, but they're all centered around the same thing. Nidriya nrite naktam vavavayena chavavayam divya charateya rajan katumba bharaninava. There are hundreds and thousands of questions about what? Nidriya nrite vaktam. How to sleep at night. There's a website called Udemy or something like that, where they have these online, there's so many online classes. You have to pay for them usually. And you can, there's dozens of classes how to sleep. We have the perfect answer for that. Yeah, just come to the Bhagavatam class. Just stay in the Bhagavatam, you can sleep all day. Nrite vyate naktam, vavavayena chavavayam. And sex life. If you can, before you go to sleep, you can have sex, then your life is perfect. Then your day is complete. And therefore, there is dozens and dozens about sleeping and even more about sex life. As if the lions, the tigers, the cockroaches, somehow or another, they don't have the information available on the internet. Or maybe they even go on the internet to find out about these things. It's so complicated. You have to have dozens and dozens of courses on it. Nidrayan rite vaknaktam vavavayan tivya divya charteya raja. And during the day, then one is working hard to get money. And then Kumbha Bharinenava. Divya Charite Rajan Kutumbha Bharinenava. And then you can spend it. Go out and shop and spend it. Get everything you need. Decorate. Expand. Put double locks on the door so the Yamadutas can't get in. Just spend. What is it all about? All this glorious eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What's the whole purpose? Of course, there may be some happiness, freedom from anxiety over doing these things. But what is the whole thing? Deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi napashiti. The whole idea is to protect one from death. No one wants to die. Even the person who claims, I don't care if I die. Even they look both ways before they cross the street. If they didn't care about dying, well, why don't they just close their eyes on a busy highway, just walk across the street? Their wish will automatically be fulfilled. They can demonstrate practically their fearlessness and their indifference towards death. But everyone's avoiding death. Even the cockroach, you go to step on it, or the ant, he doesn't say, oh, your lotus foot, please place it on my head. You're a devotee. Please bless me with the dust of your lotus foot. No, they'll run away too. No one wants to die in this world. And therefore, there is the wife, the children, the husband, the house, the insurance policy, everything is all meant to protect one from death. But no one can protect anyone from death because everyone, even the protectors die themselves. Pashanapi napashati. So that's the most amazing thing, that people don't see it. They're so worried. They hear about there's a pandemic or whatever is going on. And they're afraid, oh my God, is it true? I might die. I heard someone else died. How horrible. This is impossible. We're good people. We're an advanced country. We have the best medical science. How can we die? Impossible. Before escape from the Wuhan lab in China, no one died. But everyone is trying to avoid death, and no one can avoid it. So that's the most amazing thing. But people can't see it, and therefore they're still working so hard to avoid it. And the real problem, that we're souls trapped in the material world, that they ignore. Oh, that's how sentimental. Matter of fact, those who are many of our so-called leaders, they're simply saying that this religion is just sentiment. It's it's the biggest barrier towards progress. So they're atheists, demons. They'll never understand. Hiranyakashipu understood that he was eternal, but he could never understand what to do in eternity. So eternity, well, how we're spending eternity? Eternally, we're trying to stop death, trying to stop the impossible. So that's called a waste of time. Trying to do something impossible is a waste of time. It's like that character Sisyphus. He had this rock and he kept on pushing it up to get it out of the hole. And every time he was just about to push the rock out of the hole, it would fall back. It has to start all over. And if you have to do that eternally, that's quite frustrating after some time. But we're never frustrated because we don't have enough brains to be frustrated because our intelligence was taken away. Therefore, we just accept it as natural. Just to struggle against death like everyone else and then die. But here, Vamanadeva is telling Bali Maharaj, do your duty at least. Give me your charity. Give charity, and your name will be famous forever. They'll even put you in this book, Bhagavatam. We'll send you, in next lifetime, we'll send you an autographed copy. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Vishnu, which is impossible. Hiranyakashipu wanted to live forever. He's already going to live forever. But he was so foolish, he wanted to live forever in a body which was always changing. So Bhagavatam is at least to give us that much intelligence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you. I hope I will pronounce it right. So the jiva's purpose is sanatana dharma. And if serving Krishna honestly and without anything want in return, just to serve Krishna, and if we set a goal to reach sanatana, is that coming from false ego, or it is appropriate to have that kind of wish in background?
You mean if wanting to go back to Krishna is...
Yeah, if that is your
goal.
But
what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's selfish, if, you know,
what's the alternative?
The purpose is to serve Krishna, yeah, honestly.
So who else do you want to serve besides Krishna?
Just Krishna.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Okay, nothing.
Even if it was selfish, it's good selfishness.
Okay.
At least we should know what our self-interest is.
Yeah.
It's like if someone gave you a cup of poison, or they gave you a cup of sweet rice, and they asked you, which one would you like to drink? And you say, well, I think it's selfish drinking the sweet rice. I should drink the poison.
Okay.
We should know what our self-interest is and do it. Otherwise, then we're cheating ourselves.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Maharaj, I just read this book. I think it's Purushottam Maharaj, or about that. It is written that, I think Garuda Purana, that when you die, it's like 40,000 scorpions biting you at the same time. So, you know, I'm now around 10 years, you know, practicing this Bhakti Yoga, and my motive was because I was really afraid of death before I came to Bhakti Yoga. I was thinking of this a lot. Maybe not enough, but...
enough to bring you to the heart.
Yes. But still today, you know, after all these years, there are many instances that I can see I'm not ready, you know. When something comes, I just see that I'm not ready to die. So what's... this fear is still here, you know, after all these years. I'm a little bit...
Practice a little bit more. If you thought, well, I'm ready to die, I've already got enough practice. I don't really have to practice anymore. Then we missed the whole point. Even those who are actually liberated, they're afraid of Maya. What to speak for? If we're not afraid of Maya, we're fools. Therefore, without the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease, there's no impetus to make spiritual advancement. So we think, well, I've already passed the test. I don't care. Then we won't do anything in spiritual life anymore. We just try to enjoy it. I'm all prepared for death. It doesn't matter. So then we're fools. So this fear of death is given to us by Krishna to inspire us to become more Krishna conscious. That's all. So we shouldn't think it's something negative. It's the only hope we have to get out of here. Anything else? No questions from the... Okay. Thank you. Khwala, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.